Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
All right, listen to me. Are you ready? Are you ready to jump in? Are you ready to jump into 2025? Well, let's jump in because today we're going to be talking about finding a fresh start. Finding a fresh start. Now, I talked last week, when I spoke last week, we talked about Isaiah 43:19. For behold, I'm doing a new thing. And that word new meant fresh. I love fresh fruit. I love fresh meat. I love fresh anything that goes in my belly that's fresh, I like. Come on. I love fresh donuts. Okay, I just love donuts. Okay. But I love freshness. But the thing is, when we're stepping into a new season, when we're stepping into a new place, we want it to be shiny and new. Like, I remember we built a church. We helped build a church years ago. And when we moved into that church, we wanted everything shiny and new and looking great and no issues or whatsoever. When you walk, if you had your, okay, let me slow down. I'm trying to spit it all out at one time. My brain is running 90 miles an hour, but my mouth only wants to go about 40. But if you were to build a new house and you walked in and the paint was halfway dry and halfway done, you could see through the paint. There was drywall that wasn't sanded. There were nails that were sticking out of the wall. What would you say to your contractor? Come back and finish it. Because I want it to look new. I want it to look fresh. Some people walked into this room today and you're sitting there going, yeah, you know what? I need something shiny and new. I need a fresh walk. I need to start fresh this year. New Year's is a time when everything feels shiny and new to us. It's why people make New Year's resolutions. It's a new calendar year. We've got more opportunity to change throughout the rest of the year. You have over 350 days left in this year that you can make a difference in your life. And when we start fresh and we start new early, it's easier to keep that going. So we have a lot of people that make New Year's resolutions. All the new year, you're going to see people making fresh and new changes, and especially this time of the year. It's a great time to start and get fresh momentum for the future. That's why we have a resurgence of people that go to the gym after the new year, or gym memberships at least. They pay for the membership and then maybe not show up. Come on now. But I know DJ and his girlfriend Bree, they go to a gym, and they go and they do like little workouts and run and all that kind of stuff more than I do. But they said, well, we got to get up early tomorrow and go. And this was right after the new year. We're talking about the first or the second day of the new year. And I was like, why you got to go so early? And Bree looked at me and said, well, this time of the year, all of a sudden, everybody shows up. And if you don't show up early, then you're not going to get a machine. You're not going to get on anything. She said, but that's okay. After about a month, they'll all go away and I can go back to my normal routine. So you have that kind of thing happen. You also have people that go out and they buy more books and more self-help books on self-help and motivation, and they're sold during the year. And then there's an influx of people that show up at church services after the first year. Today is the first Sunday of the new year. And I think the best thing you can do is start fresh in the house of God with the first Sunday of the new year. Come on, somebody. Come on. And somebody's going to say I'm preaching to them right now when I'm about to say this. But we got some people that they get into this thing where they get a case of what I call the do-betters. Well, you know what? This year I'm going to do better. I'm going to read my Bible more. This year I'm going to do better. I'm going to show up at church more. This year I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray more. This year I'm going to tithe better. I'm going to give better. This year I'm going to do this better. I'm going to do that better. And we end up with a case of the do-betters that ends up wearing off a lot of times. And absolutely none of these things are a bad thing. It's good to go to the gym early. It's good to start new health trends, which I need to do myself. It's good to read books and listen to podcasts. I was doing it on the way in this morning. Listen to podcasts that'll help you grow in your life and in your walk with God and even in your own personal intellect. It's good to have those things. What we're trying to do is we're trying to change ourselves and for the better and to start fresh so that we can grow and better ourselves. Amen. I want to be a better Christian this year than I was last year. I want to be a better pastor than I was last year. I want to be a better husband than I was last year. I want to be a better father than I was last year. So what do? I'd make differences and I make changes in my life so that I can do that. The problem is that we try this and too many times we don't get rid of our old habits. We get a case of the do-betters and we add on new habits, but we don't get rid of the old. We go to the gym, yet we still eat an entire peanut butter pie when we get home. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit in that in the name of Jesus. We buy the books, and we may even read a few of them, but we don't apply what they recommend because what they suggest is too difficult or too time-consuming. And we show up at church expecting an immediate turnaround in our lives. I showed up this Sunday. God better show up in my life. And we find out that really it's a daily walk with God that is more than just checking boxes on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Now listen, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here on Sundays. You're here on Wednesdays. Most of y'all that are in this room, you're here on Wednesday nights. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you know what? We can't check a box on Sunday and then go about our life the rest of the day or the rest of the week. We have to daily check boxes with God. We have to daily spend time with Him. We have to daily take up our cross. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. When Paul wrote the book of Colossians, he was addressing the church at Colossae. And in Colossians 3, he was reminding them of the life that they had chosen in Christ. If you want to, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3 with me. And I'm going to share something with you about this church. It was a very young church that wanted this fresh start that we talked about last week. About that word new. They wanted that new season, that fresh start, that new thing that God was doing. I believe God is doing something new here at Calvary Temple. I believe that God is getting ready to step, or actually He isn't ready. We're already stepping into a new season of fruitfulness and of harvest and of powerful moves of God that He is getting ready to do. Now get ready, because when you have harvest, you got to work hard. When you have fruit show up, you got to get out and you got to pick the fruit. And it's hard. Any of y'all ever had a garden at your house? What'd you have to do? Almost every day, if not every other day, that kind of thing. You had to get out there. You had to get rid of the weeds. You had to make sure that you got out there and got all the fruit or the vegetables in or whatever it is. I went, my buddy Mark, he asked me to, he was gone on vacation for like a week. And he said, will you go and take care of my small little garden at the house and make sure that you get all the squash and all the zucchini and all. And it wasn't a big plot. It was probably about about 3 rows deep right here and then from one wall to the other wall. It wasn't huge. And I was thinking, I showed up over there and I showed up in my church clothes. Dumb check number one. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, well, it ain't going to take me long. He's got a real small garden. I can just walk through and pop, 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 pop and get everything done. An hour and a half later, I'm standing there with dirt on my khakis and dirt all over my shirt, sweating, sweat pouring off of me, looking like a drowned rat. I had to do this not once, not twice, but about 4 or 5 times that week. Because every time I went over, I was thinking, there's not going to be that much here today. There's a whole brand new batch. And I'm like, Lord, quit blessing him so much. In the name of Jesus, die, plant. I'm sorry, I'm not bitter. I'm just sharing. Isn't that what we say as Christians? But we sit there. I went over there and did that. But Paul was talking to them about they wanted this fresh start. They had given themselves over to Christ in his way, but were struggling with the very thing that we struggle with today, of actually putting it into action and changing who we are. See, it's great that you're here on a Sunday morning. It's great that you're here worshiping with us. It's great that God is speaking to your heart. You may even feel the presence of God settling into this room. Let me let you know something. He's already in this room and he's already touching your life. He's already speaking to your heart. And right now, he's already telling you, hey, he's talking to you. And right now, somebody's going, well, no, that's not me. I don't have a whole lot of bad stuff in my life. We're going to get there in just a minute because God is not done with you yet. As long as you're breathing, there is work to be done inside of your life. Amen. Come on, are you with me? They had given themselves over to Christ, but were struggling with letting go of who they were. Paul reminded them that they had to deal with those things, that they were supposed to be dead in their lives. Really, back in Colossians chapter 2, I told you 3, but I'm going to go back to 2 for a second. Verse 12, it says, having been buried with him being Jesus, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power working of God, who raised him from the dead. You were buried. Your old self was buried with Christ. Your old self no longer exists when you give yourself over to Jesus. It has no right to claim on your life. Because when you were raised up, you were not raised up in your own power again. You were not raised up in your own spirit. You were not raised up in your own strength. You were raised up with the power of God. You were raised up in his life. They were used to rituals and regulations. They were used to checking boxes, crossing off a spiritual to-do list. Go to church, check. Read your Bible, check. Pray once a day, check. Say hey to the homeless, check. Take care of somebody, check. Take care of my parents, check. Give in the offering, half check. Okay, I'm going to go on past. But they were sitting there talking about all this other kind of stuff, and they were checking their boxes. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, stop checking the boxes that everybody tells you you need to check and form a relationship with who he is. Stop studying about the elemental spirits, which when they mention that, they're talking about angels. Stop studying about all of that. Stop checking off the boxes that says you're supposed to give alms to the poor and show up in church and give the right sacrifice. Stop checking the boxes of physical circumcision, because that was something that they were being told, was that you have to be physically circumcised in order to be saved. That's what they believed, was a physical thing. No, they said, Paul was saying, no, don't pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to the man-made traditions. Build a relationship with Jesus. He challenges them that if what they experienced was real, that they have to make some changes. And there has to be some changes that happen. And there's three things, and I'm going to name them to you real quick. There's three things that have to happen. If God really has changed you, if God really has touched your life, if God is really moving in your heart, and you really give yourself over to him, then three things have to happen. You have to, number one, you have to elevate your thinking. Number two, you have to destroy the earthly. And number three, you have to remove the old. Those are requirements. They're requirements. Listen, Colossians, I'm going to chapter 3 now. I'm going to talk about elevate your thinking first. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this. If then you have been raised with Christ. If then, everybody say if. If then, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 4 says it, or the next verse says, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What is Paul saying here? That's the main question. What is Paul saying? When he says, if you've been raised with Christ, if you've really given everything over to Him and died to yourself, if you've really given Him all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your mind, if you love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you've given Him everything that you are, then you have to change your mental priorities. He says, put your mind on things above. The spiritual should take precedent over the physical. Now, right now, somebody's sitting there going, yeah, but the physical is where we live. Yes, but it's not where we fight. Come on. The Colossian people were spending time doing all the I's, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. But they were still allowing their fleshly nature, their earthly mind, to control who they were. Stop thinking about, what he's saying is stop thinking about this. Stop thinking about how to pleasure this. Stop thinking about how to make this better. Stop thinking about how this can make you feel better about yourself and about how this is what you need to satisfy with all these different things that you do. Stop thinking about this. Elevate your thinking to the place where the one who paid the price for your sin sits. Think about the one who is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, who is interceding for you and who has paid the price so that you don't have to worry about this. All you have to worry about is this. Stop thinking about this. Your life is not found in, he's saying to him, your life is not found in this anymore. It's not found in your body anymore. Your meaning, your purpose is not found in this. See, that's where we have so many problems with people, is that they find their meaning in this. How much money I can make. How well I can dress. How well liked I am. They're more worried about how they can pleasure the body. Through drugs, alcohol, whatever, or even just laziness and sit around not doing anything and just say, well, I just want to exist and just be with Jesus. No, come on, y'all. We have to make a change where our mind is connected to Him. And when our mind is connected to Him, then our body will follow. Come on. Does that make sense? Because see, wherever your mind is, your body will follow. This is dead. I'm going to get back to that. This right here is dead. The body is dead, and your life is found elsewhere, is what he's telling them. Your life is found elsewhere. In Colossians 3:4, it says, when Christ, who is your life, who is your life. Let me say that again. When Christ, who is your life. See, we don't put Christ is our life anymore. We let Christ be a part of our life. And I'm going to sound like an old fogey here for a minute. In the old days, no, seriously, way back when, used to be that everything revolved around church and your relationship with God. Well, I can't work that night because I've got church that night. We can't play ball on that day because we've got a church event that day. We can't do travel ball because it'll take us away from church. I'm going to get some parents mad at me here in a minute. No, son, you're not going to stay home and do your homework. We got church tonight. My pastor used to do that. He would, his sons would say, Dad, I got homework to do. He said, well, get your books and bring them to church. You can sit in the Sunday school class while you're at the church. You can get something by osmosis while I'm preaching, okay? Used to be everything revolved around the church. We made decisions based on what God was doing in our lives. Now, we fit God in around our events. We fit God in next to our, well, if I'm not too tired when I get done with work, I'll show up for church. We need a family day, so I'm going to take this week off. I know we haven't been for 2 or 3 weeks, but we need a family day just to spend together. What better way to spend time with family than being in the house of God? I'm not saying this to boost my ego or anything, or to fill the seats. That doesn't matter to me. The only thing I care about is the fact that God wants to do something special in your life. And if you're not here, you're not giving him an opportunity to do it. Are you with me? We need to get back to where we let God be the focal point and the center of our life, rather than allowing all these other things to take precedent over him. Too many Christians are still thinking down here about this thing. We're letting the earthly mind control everything that we do. Our bodies will follow. Our bodies will always follow where our mind leads. Thought becomes action, not the other way around. If I think, I want to walk over there and give my wife a kiss. I'm not going to do it because I'm going to grow some people out in the house. Okay. But if I want to come over here, I have to I'm thinking in my mind, you know what? She's pretty. And I want a little smooch. So my mind tells my body, hey, you need to take this foot and start walking that way. And then I'll do that, and then my mind goes, you need to take the other foot and do the same thing. And my mind is talking to my body. Your mind will control where your body goes. Now, I know there's neurological things that happen in certain times and things like that, but for the most part, your mind will control where your body goes. If we think on the things above, our body will follow. If we put a priority on our relationship with him, our body will follow. Are you with me? Again, thought becomes action. Action does not become thought. We have to move forward following the Spirit of God with our minds on him. If you're with me, say I am. See, our earthly mind rationalizes us into following its desires. Our physical bodies will try to convince us that we don't just want those things of the world. We need them. My body will sit there and tell me, see, our earthly body fights us. Anybody's body fights you every morning? Listen, my body fights me, my mind fights me some days, but when I put my mind on him, it doesn't fight me near as much. As long as we allow our minds to travel where it wants, go where it wants, do what it wants, think on what it wants, there will be a raging battle within us, but between our spiritual nature and our fleshly nature. And the fleshly, earthly nature will win out if we do not keep our mind in check. Are you with me? Some of y'all may be sitting there going, Pastor Aaron, get to the point. I understand. Listen, Jesus, this is why Jesus told us in Matthew 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In one version it says, deny himself daily. Deny him, take up his cross daily. It's not something you only do on Sundays. You only do on Wednesdays. You only do when you're having a bad day. You only do when you feel like you need to spend a little extra time in the Word. It's not that kind of work that you've got to do. It is a daily. Get up, spend time with God, spend time worshiping God, spend time in his presence. How that looks to you, that's up to you. But you've got to spend some time working on your relationship with him. Every single day I get up and I talk to my wife. Every single day I call her. Every single day I tell her I love her. Every single day I tell her how much I appreciate her. Every single day I spend time with her and I build that relationship with her. Why? Because if I don't spend constant time building that relationship will degrade into the point to where we don't know each other anymore. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? We've got to spend time with someone we want a relationship with. We have to remember that we are dead. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all about him, not us. Since we have died to our old self and been raised to a new life in Christ, we have to set our new mind on things of God and pattern our lives after the one who we were raised with, Jesus Christ himself. If you're with me, say I am. We have to elevate our thinking. And then he will change us into who he intended us to be. Well, how do we do that, Pastor Aaron? Simply this. We elevate our thinking, but we also destroy the earthly. Now, I'm not talking about you walking around with a belt, slapping yourself on the back, going, Pia Jesu Domine, and all that kind of stuff, okay? I'm not talking about all that kind of stuff. You don't sit there and punish yourself and all that kind of thing. It's not what I'm talking about. Colossians 3:5-9 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. When you were living in them. Remember, when we die to the flesh, we no longer live in those things. We live through Christ when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices. Paul is calling out the practices of the culture that were readily accepted. It was okay in their culture to have multiple wives. It was okay to have concubines. It was okay to have sexual immorality. It was okay to have all of these things. It was okay to have sex before marriage. It was okay to go and visit a temple prostitute. It was okay to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. It was okay to do this. It was okay to do that. It was okay to walk against the Word of God and against what Christ said. But Paul was saying, you've got to stop thinking that way. Ways of thinking that the culture accepted, yet God was not pleased with, he was dealing with. And what we would call big sins. Everybody say big sins. Sexual sins, evil desires, idolatry. Anything, any desire that puts its wants, its needs above God's plan for the purpose of their life. That was what he was speaking against. Colossians 3:5. Put it to death. He uses a very strong word here. Kill it! So like what we say when we see a snake in the yard. Kill it! Anybody else? That's Amy's. It's what I say when I see a spider in the house. Kill it! I hate spiders, y'all. See, there's potential dangers. I don't allow potential dangers in my house. That's why I haven't invited some of you. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't allow potential dangers into my house. Two things that if they enter our house or our yard, they will immediately be taken care of are snakes and spiders. No longer. The longer you allow danger to live under your roof, the more likely it is to cause you harm. Somebody needs to hear that in a spiritual sense. The longer you allow danger to live under your roof, the more likely it is going to harm you. The longer you allow that sinful desire to live within your heart and live within your life, and you may not go to it very often, but it's still over there. And you glance at it from time to time. Is it still there? Yeah, it's still there. And you'll walk by one day and eventually it'll bite you. I got into a discussion with somebody about something that they were trying to get out of their life. And they had told me, well, I want it there. I leave it in my house because I want it to know that it does not control me. So that I went, no, if it don't control you, then why are you allowing it to live in your house? Are you with me? Listen, if I've got a problem with the porn, I don't go and have access to a porn channel and then tell it, I'm not turning to you. Yeah, that'd be moronic. I'm going to get off of that. I need to move on. The longer you tolerate a spiritual danger and fleshly nature in your life, the more damage it will do. That's why we have to remind our flesh who is in charge. That's why we have fasting. We're getting ready tomorrow. We're going to start our 21-day fast for the beginning of the new year. 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I've asked everybody to choose one thing that you give up for 21 days. I'm not saying that you don't eat at all for 21 days. If you do that, in the name of Jesus, you better go talk to your doctor. Okay? But choose one thing. It may be caffeine. It may be coffee. It may be sodas. It may be internet. It may be TV. It may be video games. It may be whatever. Maybe sweet tea. It doesn't have to be something that you eat. It has to be, but it's something that you every single day you would like to have in your hands. And then you replace it with the presence of God. You replace it with another habit. That's why we have fasting, reading God's word, being around other believers, sacrificing our wants for God's purposes. Paul dealt with more than just big sins, though. See, a lot of us are sitting there going, well, I don't have none of that in my life. I don't have sexual immorality. I don't have evil desires. I don't have none of that kind of stuff going on in my life, so I'm good to go. Some of y'all sitting there going, well, those are big stuff. I don't have none of that. But then he moves on. Now, this is where we get ourselves in trouble, because in Colossians 3:9 it says, but now you must put them away, all, if I say all, well, I say it all the time. It's got a really deep meaning in the original language, the original Greek that he uses. It really, 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 you dig deep way down in there. And you know what that means? All. Everything. You have to get away from all of it. It says, but now you must put them all away. Not just the big stuff, but also anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Come on. You want another list? We'll go over into the Corinthians and we can talk about a whole other list that involves also involves gossiping. Well, I'm not gossiping. I'm just sharing a prayer request. No, you're not. There are some things that you can ask for prayer for. You don't have to give all the details. Are you with me? Sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. A loss of temper is just as sinful as sleeping with someone outside of marriage. Bitterness and hatred is just as destructive to a relationship as pornography in a marriage. The negative opinion that you shared about someone has just as much poison in it as the evil desires in the heart of a wicked man. We have to get rid of all of them. Every one of them. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've got a right to hang on to that past or not. God didn't say you have a right to hang on to it if somebody did you wrong. God said, get rid of it all. Somebody say all. Are you with me? God dealt with more than just big sins. He dealt with them all. He says to put them all away. And if my helpers, if y'all will bring out my props for a moment. See, we cannot pick and choose what to kill in our lives. We must put them all out. Everybody say all. If we want a fresh start. If we want to find a fresh start, we've got to get rid of the old. We have to elevate our thinking. We have to destroy the earthly things, and to live a fresh life that we have received, we have to remove the old self. We have to remove the old. Everybody say old. Turn to the person next to you and say, get rid of the old. Turn to the person to the other side and say, I'm not talking about you. We got to get rid of the old. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Put off the old, put on the new. Paul urges, or he uses a language and uses in language and phrases of clothes. Put off, take off, like shedding a garment. Get rid of what you used to be. Get rid of what you used to wear. You see, over here, God, if I put this on, this would look pretty decent with this outfit. It's really not the jacket that goes with this outfit, but it would work. and it would look pretty good. God has a righteousness set aside for you that you are supposed to put on. God has a life that you're supposed to live that you are supposed to wrap yourself in. God has something that He wants to put on you. He says, listen, I will trade you what I have for what you have. But you've got to take it off. But right now, but there's times where we just go, you know what? No. Somebody hurt me so bad. I'm just going to hang on to this thing and I'm going to keep it on. But I want to put that on too, God. But you see, there's some other things I need to hang on to. I need to hang on to that bitterness that someone hurt me with. That hatred that I have for them, I need to put that out. But then I've got this problem with my mind where I let it go places where I don't need it to go. And you know what? It's not that big of a deal. It's not that strong of an issue in my life. But yeah, I might say some words that I'm not supposed to say. So I'm not really willing to give that up yet, and I'm not going to change that yet. So I'm going to keep that on me too. And I'm going to keep that on my life. He says, take off all the old, but God, it's not that big of a deal. It still looks good. I still look good to people. It's a nice thing. It, you know what, God, this other piece, this relationship that I'm not supposed to be in, this relationship that I'm searching for, I know you told me to wait for the right one. But they make me feel good. I want your righteousness, God. But I also want to feel special. So let me just hang on to it. Let me just keep it on. And I don't know what to do, God. It still fits me. It still fits. And God, I'm just going to be honest. I like some of the sin in my life. It's comfortable. And I'm not willing to take it off yet. So let me just keep it. Let me just keep it. But God, can I have that now? We sit there and we ask God, can I have your righteousness now? Can I have your godly life now? Can I put on my new self? But the problem is, the new self doesn't fit us when we're wearing all of our old clothes. I was already starting to have trouble reaching around and grabbing these shirts. But right now, with all of this sin represented on my life, with all of these old habits, God, I go to church. Can I feel good about myself because I go to church? No. You're still wearing your old clothes. You're still wearing what used to be. And you can't put on what I've called you to be. Before we put on the godliness of the new self, we've got to put off the old. God, these sins, I like them, but they don't fit me anymore. Because I've got too much junk hanging on to me. I can't walk in righteousness and still wear my old clothes. So we have to start taking them off. And say, God, it doesn't fit me. And it doesn't fit the life that you want me to lead. So I'm going to take it off. And I'm going to put it away. I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to get rid of this personal vendetta that I've got against somebody who has done me wrong, and I'm going to throw it away because, God, I can't put on your righteousness unless you change me, unless I get rid of the old self. I finally take off all of the junk. And we go to God and say, God, you've made me new. And it fits because nothing's in the way anymore. Because nothing is there to keep us from enjoying His presence in our life. I know I made a mess up here, but ministry is messy. Sometimes your life needs to be a mess in order for God to clean you up. My question is, are you ready to find a fresh start and get rid of the old and put on the new self? Stand with me today.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.